the Lord.
Amen. I believe them words tonight. You believe them words. And if you look to Jesus and live, the Lord bless each and every one, and we do give everyone a warm welcome. Maybe while I'm just saying announcements, we can turn to Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to read from Malachi 3 and also from Jeremiah 1. The Lord bless each one, and just want to thank everyone for your prayers. And we had a tremendous service in Dublin this morning, and I believe God spoke to people, and one young man made a decision for salvation. And you know, as I was coming in, there's a brother I know from there, and his daughter's been away from the things of God. And I said to Brother Matthew, I said, I believe that's very like that girl heading to church. And where's her? She came to service this morning. And I believe the Lord touched her. And we just thank the Lord, praise God. And thank the Lord also for Brother John here this morning. My wife said it was a good service, and we just appreciate the things of God. We thank the Lord. Just remember, next Sunday morning, my dad will be preaching in the morning, and then Brother Andrew Morris in the evening to tell us about Russia. And God's moving in Russia. I'm telling you, it's powerful what God's doing in Russia. And there's so many testimonies what the Lord's doing over there in Russia. And we just appreciate that. I'll be back probably for the evening. Some stage I'll be away for a few days. And just keep us in prayer. I believe God wants us to be in prayer in these days. I believe the Holy Spirit's been leading us individually, and I believe collectively that we're to pray. And I just sense the presence of the Lord in here tonight. How many can sense the presence of the Lord in here tonight? Praying makes a difference in the meeting. And I just thank the Lord for his presence, praise God. Let's read then Malachi 3, just one verse, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then if we could turn to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah chapter 1. And let's read from verse 1 to verse 12, just for reading the night. From Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anath, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive into the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go in all that I shall send thee, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord saith unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to plant, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Let's bow our heads tonight, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the authority of the word of God. Your word has authority like no other book or like no other reading, because it's your word. It is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. It is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, So is the word of the Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ tonight that you'll touch lives in this room and you'll meet every need. In Jesus' precious name. I come against every work of the devil, every spirit of divination and witchcraft that will be praying against this meeting and other meetings. I bind that warlock demon power by the power of Jesus Christ in the name of the Lord tonight. I plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb over this house and all of our families and all that's near and dear to us tonight. I plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God tonight in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me and anoint me. Preach your word. And I thank you, Lord, you undertake for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. I want to take for a title tonight. I know I've preached this loads of times. When I come back today and I went up into the upper room, when I got down and I was waiting on the Lord, I felt to bring this again tonight. I believe this is a tremendous statement. God resuming food, not part, food, and total responsibility back of the devil at Calvary. God is in control. Amen. I want you to get it. I know we've heard it before. You're hearing it again. God has assumed full and total responsibility back of the devil. The devil is not in control. God is. I don't care what it looks like, what it seems like, what it feels like, God is in control, not the devil. He was defeated at Calvary. Life and death met at the cross. Life conquered death, and death died. The sting of death has been taken out of death because Jesus took the stinger of death in his own flesh. He took the sting of death out of death. It was pierced into him. He took it. He bore it. He destroyed it. Death has lost sting. And Jesus Christ is a resurrection Lord. Amen. He's alive tonight. And he has assumed full and total responsibility of the devil. This word responsibility is a state or the fact of being responsible, accountable, as for something within one's power. God is the one that spoke this word. When you read this word, it's not you that wrote it. God did. This is God's word. When you believe it, God will do what he says. God's responsible for this word. He wrote this word. He could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. That by two immutable things in which it is absolutely impossible for God to lie. Why? That we might have strong consolation. What else does it say? Who have laid hold upon the hope set before us. We took a grip of it. Because it took a grip of us. God keeps his word. Whatever God's word says, God keeps his word. God is responsible for his word. You're responsible to believe it. You have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to believe the word of God. The angel of the Lord told William Branham in 1947 when he visited him. He said, if you can get the people to believe you, not even cancer will stand before your prayer. And he sang that song when he believed, and the angel said that he liked that song because it helps your faith. God's responsible for his word, and you're responsible for who believe it. Don't doubt the word of God. Hold on to the word. Oral Roberts preached a message one time years ago. I never heard all of it. I just heard a part of it. Holding on to the rope. Preached about holding on to the rope. Don't let go of the rope. Hold on to the rope. And I tell you, we're holding on to the Word of God tonight. God is responsible for His Word, therefore He keeps His Word. He must also be responsible to each and every ourselves, to each other. But God's responsible to His Word. And He keeps His Word, so we must not change the Word. God is responsible for His Word. I want you to get this. It's a simple, but it's a fact. God is not responsible for a changed Word. God is not responsible for a hybrid Word. God is not responsible for something that somebody claims to be the Word, which is not the Word.
Amen.
God won't back that. He has no responsibility to that. But God is responsible to His own pure Word, the unadulterated Word of God. God's responsible. God will keep that Word. And when you by faith take the simplicity of this Word, laying hands on the sick and praying for them, God's responsible. When you call the elders of the church to anoint the sick with oil and pray for them, the prayer of faith, the Word of God says, will save the sick. If they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. And the Lord will raise them up. God's responsible to this Word. God will do it. I told you several weeks ago, not very long ago, one of my ears, almost completely deaf in it, could hardly hear a thing. I was praying for it on Sunday. Monday morning it was no different, but I believed it. I knew it was He. You say you knew where He, you couldn't hear a thing, that's right. But I knew it was He. At 10 o'clock I walked across a field and I was thinking about the things of God and the ear opened. Completely open. You said it was chance. No, it was prayer. Just the other week, the brothers prayed for me. I had a chest infection, all the stuff. I never got no antibiotics. I never went near the doctor. It'll not clear unless you do this, unless you do that. How many's heard it? I want to tell you, prayer will clear it. Prayer will clear it. God is a healer. Do you realize this evening that the God we serve is a miraculous miracle worker?
Yes.
Do you realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever? He has never changed. We read our first reading that I am the Lord thy God, I change not. God has never changed. Whatever God was, He still is. Whatever God said He would do, He will still do. Whatever God said you are, you are. Whatever God said you can do, you can do. What did God say He is? God said He's supernatural. God is a supernatural being with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority. God said that He can do far above what we can even think about or even ask about. God's able to do it. The Lord says, you're the redeemed of the Lord. The book of Psalms says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes.
You're the redeemed of the Lord.
Yeah.
What's it say about you? This is God's Word. Remember, He keeps an eye on it. He's responsible for His Word now. The Word of God says, you can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens you. He can do anything. Anything through the Lord. That's God's Word. Because He's a responsible God. He won't stand over something that some fella has concocted up. A Trinity, three title baptism, and all the false stuff. God won't stand over it. But when we come the way God says, Acts 2:38 says, repent ye therefore and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, hear the word again, is unto you, to the ones He's preaching, to your children, to their children afar off, here we are tonight, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, the promise of the Holy Ghost yours. That's God's Word. Now God's responsible for that Word. So if somebody will take God and His Word and believe it, God will give them it. He has to. If He doesn't, He's not God. But He is God. He's the very God. He's the only God. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, how many times does the Bible say, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. We hear today of the gods. We all worship the same God, we don't. And I don't mean in here, but I mean universally. There's one God. That is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the supreme God, maker of the heaven and the earth. We worship Him. How? Through His Son. Why? Because He put His name in Him. And a prophet come and preach God's chosen place of worship. It's where He put His name. He never put His name in some denomination. That's not God's name. That's a name somebody had. Might be good, but it's not God's name. God put His name in His Son Jesus. That's His chosen place of worship. Where He put His name. In Jesus Christ. And where two or three are gathered together in My name, He has promised to be in the midst. What the rest of it said. And that to bless. The Lord's here to bless you tonight. The Lord's here to touch you tonight. Because He's responsible. God will not respond to a changed word or a broken word of promise. It must always be according to the word. Then He is responsible for the word. And I could quote you from Hebrews, but I'm going to go to Ezekiel. And I brought this tonight. I want to read it myself. Just to slow things down. Ezekiel 12. Let's go to Ezekiel 12. You write these scriptures down. You see, you know it's good to meditate in God's word. To read the word. Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Did you hear that? God is affirming, He says, I'm the Lord. Nobody else, none of these other gods of Egypt and all these other false gods are all fake. Buddha and Muhammad, all fake. But God says, I am the Lord. And I speak. And the word that I speak will come to pass. God's words will happen. God's words are creative words. That's the same words that God said, let there be light. And when God spoke, it come to pass. Light came. When God speaks, it happens. We saw it in Jesus. Peace, be still. There's a great calm. He had the words of God. God's words. When God speaks, it'll come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, isn't that wonderful? The word of the Lord came to me. Can you ever say the word of the Lord's come to you? A lot of people don't know what this is today, but it happens, it's real. There's men and women in here tonight, and you can testify with this, what I've read you. The word of the Lord came to you. When the word of the Lord comes to you, it will come to pass what God says. Be no more prolonged. God will do it. He keeps an eye on His own word. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to wrestle to see can this be done. All you have to do is rest upon the word. Do nothing. Just believe it. Rest upon the word. For God says, He, not you, He keeps an eye on His word. He brings it to pass. God does. God brings His word to pass. Aren't you glad for that? So it doesn't matter what type of week we have had. The type of a week we have had doesn't change it. Because of Calvary. Here we are. Jesus resumed full and total responsibility back on the devil at the cross. What He done on the cross stands for all eternity. It's been done. God's done it through His Son. He's in charge tonight. Don't you think what's happening? What can I do? I want to tell you tonight, God's in control. God is in control. And He keeps an eye on His word. Didn't the Bible say, Jeremiah, before you were cradled in your mother's womb, I knew you. The Lord knows you tonight. He knows your frame. He's mindful of you. He knows everything you're going through. He knows everything about every single one of us because He's Almighty God. And He's a responsible God. God didn't place the responsibility in someone else. But He said He could swear by no greater. In Hebrews, He swore by Himself. He lays His life down for it. Jesus laid His life down for this word. Confirmed it with an oath. Show me a priest that done it. You can't. Did you ever study this? You can't show me another priest that confirmed it with an oath. You can't do it. He's the only one. Does your Bible say it after the order of Melchizedek? Does your Bible also say it of which priesthood it never spoke about? Yes. I'm coming from. He's far superior. He's greater than any other priesthood. This Melchizedek priesthood without ascent, without descent, is eternal. When did I get that? It's Almighty God coming on the scene. Get a hold of this now this evening. Come back with me for a moment in your thinking about this Melchizedek. This is the man that comes to Abraham and Abraham's childless. Sarah can't conceive. She's barren. And not only that, she's getting too old. But God appears to him. And a prophet came in the 20th century, and that prophet said, God took a piece of clay, made a body, there's Melchizedek. He said, God can do that. Nobody else can, but God can. For He's the Creator. And He stands with Abraham. And Abraham says, shall this Eliezer be the heir? And God says, no. But you'll have a son from your own bowels. And with his back to the tent, when Sarah laughed behind him, he told her the secrets of the heart. What a truth it is. And she said, I laughed not. And you know she was saved, even though she laughed, because of Abraham. Type of Christ. And the bride. How many could see it? We failed, but he didn't. Death was on every man, but he took it. He conquered it. He freed us from it. And God said, Sarah conceived. And then they started to say, maybe if such a thing was the case, it could be. God said, no, but Sarah. And you know the whole story, how God gave him Isaac. And you know also the story in Romans 4. Read it, it's wonderful. And you go on through them chapters and you read it. And then he has to lay Isaac up to sacrifice him. What does Abraham say? He says, I received him as one from the dead. Will you hear me tonight? I received him as one from the dead. God will do it again. He was saying, even if he had to sacrifice him, God would bring him back again. Because the first time he came, he was as one from the dead. God would do it again. Because he's Almighty God. Yes. What's the Bible saying? The Bible says Abraham believed God. He believed God. Then God steps on the scene and accounted it to him for righteousness. Because he believed him. Romans 4. He accounted to Abraham his believing for righteousness. And then that's where we get this story, the imputation of righteousness. He believed. Then God says to them, walk down before me and be thou perfect. And then Brother Branham comes on the scene preaching and he takes that phrase. And he says, if God asks for perfection, he must make a way for it. He can't ask for it without making a way for it. And you say perfection. Absolutely. He says he did make the way for perfection. In Jesus Christ at the cross. We're perfect through him. Perfect. You say you're saying you're perfect, absolutely. The Bible says I'm perfect in Christ. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes, sir.
Because of his righteousness. There's no flaws. You see, we have to stop looking at here and look at him. There's no flaws in Jesus. absolutely sinless and perfect. And he says, Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And he goes further. He says, I am thy exceeding chief. That's his protector. Then he says, I am thy great reward. Glory to God. I'm thy great reward. The very thing you've desired, the very thing you've wanted, I'm going to give you. Not only am I going to give you, he went further. He goes over the top with it, are you hearing me? God says, I'll make thy seed like the stars of the heaven, like the sand upon the seashores, and this woman's barren. Barren. But God done it. Because he's Almighty God. God done it. I tell you, God's able to do it. Far above what we can ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly. Far above. The Bible says, I have not seen, ear have not heard, the things God prepared for them that love him, who are the called according to his promise. God's called you. The Lord's in control of that. You say, what will I do? Believe him. Sit back and watch God. Did you hear what I said? What you do. You let go up and do this and do that. You can't. William Branham said, I was only there when he came. I had nothing to do with it. He came. I was only there when he came. And he said, the greatest gift is to get out of the way and let him do it. And God's able to do it. He's able to do it. That which is impossible with man, God is able to do it. Why? Because he is a responsible God. Oh, you hear me? God can't break his word. He's bound his word. I've told you from Hebrews, by an oath. He's tied it by an oath. Confirmed it was his own death. And God raised him from the dead. Letting the devil know that this man's in charge. And the devil knows he's a short time to go. And he wants to give God's people all the problems he can. But he's a liar. Jesus Christ is the truth. Look at this here. By two immutable things, it means unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Now, if you want the scripture, then if you go to Hebrews 6, 13, 14, you'll read it. Hebrews 6, 13, 14. Immutable means unchangeable. We are working with an immutable God, are you hearing me tonight? It can't be changed. Can't be changed. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You can't change it. Just believe it. Now, you remember one thing, unbelief kills the move of God. That's why the prophet of God said, smoking and drinking is not sin. That's the fruit of sin. Sin is unbelief. God wants us to believe. It says also we might have strong consolation, which means to control. Consolation, to be consoled. So God is saying it's unchangeable, and God is saying, be thou consoled. Isn't that something? I believe this is the word of the Lord tonight. I never planned preaching an additional. When I come home this evening and something has come on me recently, I have to get alone with God. I can't explain it. There's a hunger. I've asked for it and God's done it. And God wants to bring that on his people, a hunger. And when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we shall be filled. But God is saying it's going to be unchangeable and you can be consoled by this. Rest upon it. God will do it. The responsible God. This is what I wrote here in my title. The responsible God. Ain't that some title? The responsible God. You couldn't say that about any of the politicians. They'd let you down the first week. Don't care who they are. But you can say this about God. The responsible God. He's his servant. He's the Lord's servant. It is very evident that God is responsible. Therefore, he is a faithful God. He is going to do exactly what he said. Look at Psalms 89, verse 1 to 8. Psalms 89. Oh, ain't the Lord good? Psalms 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Till in the days this was wrote, no. Till David, no. Till Abraham, yes but more. Till David, yes but more. Till all generations. Were you reading that tonight? I'm going to read it again. Forever with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. God is a faithful God to all generations. God is faithful. Amen. Faithful. Is there something about people that's faithful? Ain't there? There's people I can look at tonight, and as I look out here, I can say they're faithful. Faithful to the Lord's work. Faithful to give them to God's work. There's people that's faithful. And there's people you know, they're faithful. Then you think of God. God's faithful. Always. You never can expect God to let you down. He won't. He's faithful. That's what it means. He won't let you down. Be consoled by it. Be consoled. God is faithful. The devil doesn't want me to preach on this. You don't know how well he has done his best. And I wouldn't preach on these things. He wanted me stopped. I'm telling you. He's the enemy of the gospel preacher, you know.
Yes, I will.
The Bible says he's an accuser of the brethren. But it's by God's grace. By the grace of God, I'm here tonight. You're here tonight because of God's grace. Thank God for his grace. Thank God. Look at these verses. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto my servant, David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever. And build up thy throne till all generations. And the wee word, see thy means. Think on it. Meditate upon it. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. That's right here tonight. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee, God is faithful. God is faithful. God was faithful the day that you were in sin and in darkness and in bondage. That when you prayed in childlike faith from Romans 10 and 9, and thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When you prayed it, God saved you. And you knew you were saved. God is faithful. When those of you that was desiring the Holy Spirit, and you closed yourself in and you prayed sincerely, and you can testify that God baptized you with the Holy Ghost, God was faithful. Many a time, many of us have come to the front of this church, or even at home, or somewhere else, and we prayed sincerely when we were sick, or we weren't well, or things weren't going right, and God was faithful and he delivered us. God was faithful. I can't begin to tell you the times God's healed me. I tore my left thigh, ripped it badly. The doctor says to me, "Your days is over of doing any sort of lifting, you'll never do it again." Well, just to prove it, I got £500 on the bar. I told you before, and I'd done a squat with it up and down, sat in the rack. And I said to the devil, there you are, God's faithful, he's a healer. Broken toe, God healed it. Dissed out in the back, God healed it. Injured it again. Oh, his wee voice is always there, never be far away. You'll never be the same again. That's the devil. Now, he could be, I don't care what way he's dressed, what he looks like, but that's him.
Yes.
Now, don't you listen to him. He's there to bring you down. Jesus is there to lift you up. How do you do it? When you accept him, what he's done. God is faithful. How many of us were in financial difficulties and we went away and prayed in secret and the Lord delivered us? Give us the money. Many times through the letterbox, through a brother or sister, or from afar, God done it anyhow. Who's your source? Not the preacher. I don't care who helped you, they're not your source. God showed me this years ago. People can be used to help you, but don't rely on that particular person. That's not your source. God is. Because if that person fails, God won't. God will remain your source. We hear me. God can use people and he does. And God blesses people and we believe that. But ultimately, God is our source. Because God's faithful.
Amen.
How many times have we in the past prayed for somebody and it seemed hopeless? It went the opposite. But the Lord got a hold of them and saved them. God's faithful. This is a faithful God. I can preach a sermon all night about the faithfulness of God. That God brought them out of the Egyptian bondage. God opened the Red Sea. Brought them over dry ground. Wiped their enemies out. Fed them with manna from heaven. They drank water from the rock when they're dying with thirst. God was faithful.
Yes.
They rebelled. They backbited. They went against Moses and Aaron. They done everything. God was still faithful. Faithful God. And what's he doing? He keeps an eye on his word. He watches over his word to perform it. The Lord's eye is on the sparrow and his eye is on you. Are you hearing me tonight? Old George Yates, have any ever heard him sing that? Who's ever heard him? I tell you what, that man was anointed to sing, wasn't it? Them old fellas, you know, the cathedral quartet. Them boys, St. George Johnson, them boys. I think some of them's passed on to be with the Lord now. They've got promoted. Home to glory. But he was saying, God, his eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on you. The Lord's watched you tonight. Don't you think for 1 minute some mistake has happened. Why is it happening? God's in control of everything. He's the giver of life. He holds the breath you breathe in the palm of his hand. I tell you, our God's able to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we can ask. To thank God is faithful. The responsible God. And it's very evident that God is responsible. Therefore he's faithful. He's going to do what he says he'll do. The faithful God. Look with me over to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. I want to read you a few verses of Isaiah chapter 11. Let me start at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteous shall be, and the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Faithful God. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lamb, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockerel's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy an enemy, holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. God's faithful. Now I know some of this is all about the millennium reign, but God is faithful. God is faithful. You're not working with someone here that can fail. This is not a new car that needs tested to see how good it is. This is not a new bike that needs tested to see how good it is. This God we serve, time tested and proven. And Hebrews says tonight, we're encountered with a great cloud of witnesses, men that's proved God. This is a God that stopped the mouth of the lion. When Daniel should have been eaten, God closed the lion's mouth. I love that song. God closed the mouth. I love it. I tell you, starving, massive lions. When you know the rest of the story, the men that were through in after him were eaten alive, and the lions break their bones to pieces. That's what the Bible says. But God had his hand on Daniel. And you read the story of Daniel, they threw him in the pit, they sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Read the story, and when you get to the bit where he revealed himself to his brethren, he says, don't cry, more or less, no more. This was all the hand of God. What? That's what he said. Him being thrown into the pit, his coat, oh, yes. Why has my troubles come? I don't know. But Daniel's came. It was all the hand of God. Isn't that strange? That God had a bigger plan. God's bigger plan was he was going to save the thousands when the famine came. God's bigger plan was to do with his people, the children of Israel, to get them down into Egyptian bondage. God's plan. God's plan. 400 years, God's plan. Joseph says, don't forget, take my bones out with you when you go. For he knew he was leaving. And God raised up a man called Moses. And I love what an old preacher, a Pentecostal preacher, said about Moses. I never ever forgot what he said. He said that Moses is 40 years learning to be an Egyptian in the house of Pharaoh. Then he says Moses was the next 40 years on the backside of the desert herding sheep. Then he says Moses was the next 40 years learning that God was everybody. And I tell you, God is everybody tonight in the sense he's faithful. God is a faithful God. If nothing happens to Ryan or miss, I don't believe it. I believe ultimately God's in control. I said to brother, when you look back in your life and you have trials, tribulations, and after a few years you look back and you wonder how you ever come through it, and you thank God for it, because it's done you the power of good. It's like pruning the tree. You ever prune the trees? You have to cut the dead branches off. Because if you don't, they're no use. Cut them off it. And cut her back well. Don't be afraid of TikTok. I know a wee man, he cuts trees, and when he finishes, the people think he's ruined them. And you go back the next year, and the woman comes out, and she's near ready to hug him. She says, I can't believe my garden, the way it has bloomed this year. And he cut it back hard. And many times God is pruning us. And I've worked with a fellow pruning. I believe God let me work with him. The Lord was talking to me. I believe that. Maybe it wasn't for you, but for me anyhow. And sometimes God has to prune us back so that we'll bear fruit. Now, you ever have a tree? I don't care if it's an apple tree, an orange tree. I don't care what sort of a tree it is. But if you continually leave it and never prune it and never cut it back, it won't belong. It grows nothing. It won't grow anything. Because you've let it grow. But when you cut it back, I tell you, it'll grow. It'll begin to bear fruit. It'll bear fruit. And Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. We're to bear the fruit. And sometimes God lets things happen for a reason, so that we throw ourselves on Him. And when we throw ourselves on the Lord, God, time and time again, shows us He's a responsible God and He's faithful. Many believe that tonight. Just a couple more minutes and I'm going to close. Now God is faithful. Look at verse 9 of that when I read. I don't know if I read verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The prophecy here concerning Emmanuel, God in flesh. If we remain faithful, He will remain faithful because He's a responsible God. When we remain faithful to God, God will remain faithful, even in our giving. The Bible says if we bring our tithes into the storehouse, then God says, approve me now, says the Lord, and see I'll not pour a blessing upon you. Faithful. You know, when you go through the Old Testament, when they have a flock or a field of barley or wheat, they give a tenth to God. That's God's way. The Bible says, muzzle not the mouth of the ox and the tread of the corn. That's God's way. God has certain things we are to follow if we're to be faithful as He's faithful. And when we're faithful to God's word and the things of God, God is faithful to us. He's under obligation. Did you hear that word? William Branham was the only preacher I ever heard talk like that. Never heard another man talk like that. He said, God is under obligation. Isn't that some statement? But I believe it was the truth. When you do your part, God will do His part. Why? Because remember, He's your kinsman redeemer. And when He takes to extend the border of His garment over you, something will happen. Because God is faithful. Let me go to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God is a God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments till a thousand generations. So that's here tonight. Ain't that some word? The Lord is faithful. And when you keep the Lord's word, the Lord is faithful to you. Amen. I thank God He's faithful. When you hear the suicide rates today, how many knows what I'm talking about? People committing suicide, all sorts of stuff. I don't think the earth was ever faced with this stuff. In my lifetime anyhow, what there is today of depression, of suicide, of all these things. This is an age like no other age. But God is still the same. God is faithful. And if God can help us people in a day gone by, God can help us people today. Because He's a faithful God. Go Go with me over to 1 Corinthians, and I'm closing. I'm going to have to close. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read from verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. Verse 9. God is a faithful. Amen. By whom ye are called unto the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But it starts out, verse 9, God is faithful. People will let you down. God won't. The Lord won't let you down. Do you know why? Because he's unchanging. He's the unchanging God. He's unchanging. Unchanging. Whatever he done before, he can do it again. That's the thing about God. If I look in this book and I see what God raised somebody from the dead, I know God can do that again. If I look in this book and I see that he stopped the deaf ear, I know that God can do it again. And God opened one of my ears. You said it would open anyhow. Whether it would or wouldn't, God done. And I don't care who argues it different. I believe God. People in here that God touched, I want to remind you tonight, God has touched you before. And God will touch you again. I want you to know that the Lord loves you. He didn't choose you because of the numbers or because of the colour of your hair or the colour of your eyes. God chose you because he loved you. He knew you. Ever before you were formed, God knew you. And he predestined you to life. And he's faithful to his promise. Let's stand our feet tonight. Let's just close our eyes. I said this morning, I'm not going to call nobody forward or anything, and I'm not going to do it tonight either. God can touch you where you're standing. I'm praying, I'm sincere with this, I'm praying that Jesus will walk in our meetings. That he'd go to people and that he'd do the work. If he was fit to do it in the days of Wigglesworth, in the days of Brother Branham, and all these wonderful men of God that we read about, and we thank God for every one of them. But they all said it was Jesus. And it was Jesus. And then he says he's the same yesterday, today and forever. The Lord Jesus can touch you tonight. I want you to do one thing if you're in need this evening. I was going to preach on this tonight, but I hadn't the time and everything to prepare it. I wanted to wait for the Lord about it. But I felt to bring this. But there's a man in the Bible called Blind Bartimaeus. He couldn't see him, but he heard him coming. And he cried. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I tell you, they tried to stop him, keep him quiet, but he cried the louder. And as he cried, he stopped. The man called Jesus. He stopped him with his crying. And I believe if we cry to the Lord, we can stop him tonight. And God can touch people. On whole, I would that the Lord would stop the night for a moment in this meeting and work a miracle for you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you this evening that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we're not St. Paul or any of them great prophets. But as a prophet once said, you are the same Lord Jesus. You're the one. You're the one that can change the things. Lord, I pray that you'll come forth on the scene tonight. And that you'll confirm your own word with signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Touch my sister, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch my brother, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Meet every need in this house tonight in the name of the Lord. Father, I ask for those that's near and dear in our hearts. We send the Holy Ghost tonight. We send your word. And we say, heal that man and heal that woman listening in the name of Jesus. May there be a testimony to the power of Christ. Lord, we're convinced you're the same. You are the faithful God. You could swear by no greater, you swear by yourself. You've done it. You're the one. All the glory belongs to you. Your name's above every other name. You said at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, both in heaven and on earth. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name. Father, I bless your people in the name of Jesus this evening. I bless them in Jesus' name, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. I ask that help will come to the body, strength to the evil, marrow to the bones. You are our Savior, our healer, our baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and our coming King. We confess it and believe it tonight. Father, prosper your people. Meet financial needs in this house. Work a financial miracle, I pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask it to come forth. I bind every work of the devil tonight over every life and every home, over our children, over our sons and daughters, husbands and wives. I bind the works of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ, and I speak deliverance in the name of Jesus. Save that man, save that woman, save that boy, save that girl. Cover them with your blood. Lord, the enemy doesn't like the blood. Lord, your word says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Lord, you, we know that we've been given a word from a message sent from God, that we were to apply the token. We apply that token by faith this night in the name of Jesus Christ. We apply it. We say, let the token be applied in Jesus' name. Strengthen your people tonight. Meet every need, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that we'll go out different than we come in. That someone will have happened, that you'll work on our lives afresh, anew. Lord, we need people to get saved. We need people to get delivered. But we know it's only you can do it, but we're believing you're going to do it. Lord, save men and women. Our brothers, our sisters, in the flesh, that's outside of you tonight. Led by the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that thy work and the children of disobedience, we come against that prince and power. By the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, by the name of Jesus, we say, Lord, speak to them tonight. Deliver them. Set them free. Lord, for your own people that's backslidden and cold away from you tonight, may you renew them. May you begin to deal with them and prune them back, that they'll bear your fruit in the name of Jesus. May there be a crop come forth that'll fill the baskets. Oh, grant it, Lord, Grant it, Lord. Lord, they talk about the bumper crop. Lord, you're able to do it. You said, reaping for thou hast not sown. That's your word. Lord, you're the Lord of the harvest. Father, this evening, grant thy blessing upon thy people. As the musician comes, I pray the Holy Spirit will water your word tonight, that lives will be touched. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. You believe God tonight. I want you to believe something's happened. You know, last week, the other week, I stood here and I said, I'm healed. I knew I was healed. But I have no evidence of it in the flesh. I woke up the next morning, the devil said to me, you're not healed. And I told him right back, I am. You know what I told him? I said, devil, I've got great faith this morning. Great faith, yes. No evidence. Several days, he come back at me. But I come back at him. And I said, I'm healed. And I thank you, Jesus. And I am healed. I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price. It's healing in the atonement, you know. The Lord is your healer tonight. He's your deliverer. The brother comes, let's seek God and worship. Whatever the Lord leads, the Lord bless each one.
And how the words that him, joyful, when the mighty name, my infant sinner, virtue, and fear of the Lord. Come to the Savior, make holy life. Hear the word and show his name.